I have a lot of fun on campus because I have such a variety of people here. I have pastors through, and I have permanent people too. Some of the people do, and some of the people sue. But all of the people who do find that their life is blessed and illumined. It's interesting. We have a young man who came here and experienced the campus and just loved it, but he couldn't take it anymore. He had to go away because he was losing his little black cloud. He was losing his friend, the friend of feeling that emotions were important, the friend of feeling that something outside controlling his life was a very important thing for him to do. Now, if you have an instant illumination and it says to you, move on it, and you don't move, then you don't get the benefit. Now, I oftentimes say to Ellen, Ellen, stop everything and treat. Stop everything and speak your word and say, don't I say that? Okay, Ellen.
Okay, yes.
What did I say to you this afternoon?
To speak my word and know that.
I said, after your nap,
right.
I want you to spend all the time until supper time, which is 3.5 hours, maybe 4 or 5, because that's 5:30 and then she'll make supper. But all that time, I want you just to treat, 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 right? Okay. Now, you're going to say, I like me and all, I'm peaceful and all is in divine order and other good things. Now, what happens when you say that?
It is so.
What happens is that no work gets done on the campus. The floors don't get mopped and the bills don't get paid and the lessons don't get checked and stuff like that. But I said to Ellen, why are you here? Are you here to do the lessons? Are you here to pay the bills? Are you here to do these things, to operate the university? And if she answered yes, I would have sent her away. But she answered, she is here to work on her spiritual awareness of herself. And that's what you're here for. Now, if anyone comes here and just wants to bathe in the spiritual illumination of the place, the feeling of love, the joy of the place, the wonder of the magic of the campus, and the healing qualities that are here, they're not welcome. They're not welcome. You say, well, Herb, that's what we're making it so beautiful for. And perhaps you are. What the purpose of this place is, it is to be, with each person that comes here, they are aware that their word is what makes their life what it is. Thoughts are things. Their word is what makes their life what it is. And for instance, if someone had a healing need and came to campus, and they just want to luxuriate in the healing consciousness of campus and feel so good in the healing attitude of campus, which is here, I don't want them here. What are they doing? They are sapping. They are taking from the campus that which the campus is. Now, what do I want them to do? I want them to take the beauty of themselves and compound that with the campus magic and make it perfect. And the only way they can do it is by saying, I am perfect. All is in divine order. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am peace. I am peace. Now, if they're just going to sit there and soak, you know, you're a sapper when you go to the doctor, if you just go there and soak up his pills and stuff. And you have that need for the disease, need for the pills, need for that experience again and again and again. But if you go into the doctor's office and you say, I am going to take these pills that are going to make me whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect. These pills are going to reinforce my wholeness and my perfection. I'm whole and perfect. What's going to happen to you? You're going to experience that wholeness and perfection. When people come to campus here and they want to be in the monastery of the absolute monastery here and they want to dwell in this feeling and the vibrations, everyone who comes here says, wow, this is great here. But if they're just going to sap our energy and sap our vibrations here. We don't want them here. We want people who are coming here who are themselves powerful vibratory beings, powerful beings who are sharing who they are with us and the world. So we want them to say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. What happens when they say that?
Yeah.
They continue to have the vibrations here on campus circulate and vibrate and activate. If they just come here and soak and soak and sap and sap and sap, and then they leave here, they've done nothing but take. And we don't want takers in our world. We want givers in the world. Now, why? If you go to the doctor and he gives you a pill, and you take the pill and you're perfect, and then you have the problem again next week, and you go back and he gives you more pills, and you take the pill, you're a sapper. If you go to the doctor and you say, Doctor, what is going to help me so that I can be strong and so I don't have to have this experience to come back week after week after week? And the doctor will say to you, well, take these pills and know that they heal you. But the doctor doesn't want to say that. He'll lose his license if he says, I'm in the healing business. Really? The minute he says, I'm in the healing business, then he's got to heal you. But the doctor says, you're in the healing business. That's what Hippocrates said, father of medicine. He said, the patient is kept alive by the physician only long enough until the patient can handle it for himself. And then the patient puts the cause in motion for his wholeness and his perfection. And this is what it's all about. Now, when people come to campus here and they want you to lay on of hands or other silly things, they want that instantaneous feeling of good, and then they go away, and then they come back the next week and wanting more instantaneous feeling of good. Or they say, oh, it didn't last. I got healed out there, but it didn't last. Look at it, it's back again. Well, they have the same causes put in motion that brought it in the first place. When we put new cause in motion, when we put new attitudes in motion about our healing and our health and our instant illumination, then we are living as beings who are giving, giving, giving. Now, Heinz went to school to become an artist. He went to school to become a Michelangelo. And Heinz learned how to become a Michelangelo. He, in school, was exquisite. In school, his paintings were outstanding, better than any of the other students, because there was his nature, his being. And so then Heinz leaves the school, and he goes about his life, and he doesn't paint anymore. And people say, well, I thought you were a painter. I am. Well, you can't say you're a painter if you don't paint. So Heinz just goes around enjoying other people's paintings. And he loves other people's paintings. He saps up the energy of others. Hey, why don't you paint some things? You're good. You know, you got a lot of talent. Why don't you do it? Oh, I don't have the energy. I don't have the enthusiasm to do it. So is Heinz going to be the painter he is? No. He will just be a sapper. He will just go around the world drinking in other people's genius and not his own. We practice who and what we are. We practice the things that we are. We practice the genius that we are. And when we practice it, that's giving. That's giving. Why is it that artists feel they must sell what they have? Because they don't feel worthwhile. An artist, hey, who makes all the money on famous artists? The art collectors, not the artists. The artist dies a pauper. He doesn't have a thing. But the world makes money off his paintings. And nobody appreciated the artist while he was alive. Nobody appreciated. But somebody came along and said, hey, that's good stuff. That belongs in a, we got to give that a showing, you know. And so, but why didn't the artist have it? Well, the artist didn't believe in himself. He just let himself be a channel for his divine self to flow through with some beautiful art. And the stories we hear about Michelangelo, the agony and the ecstasy and so forth, the stories that we hear about his life, what do we hear? He's a very unhappy man. How could he paint such beautiful art? Because that was his nature. That was his nature to paint. And the moment he began getting in the way of his nature, what happened? He began having problems. Did Michelangelo paint the Sistine Chapel, and was he lying upside down painting it? Yes. Did paint fall in his eye? Very seldom, if ever. If paint fell down into his eyes, it blinded him. You know that. So people say, well, paint fell in his eyes and he had to wash out his eyes. Or yeah, maybe once or twice, yeah, but all the time he spent painting upside down, once or twice. You see, he was a genius. If he had had what? He would have been a fabulous painter. Now, he was good, and he's famous. He's known throughout history. But if he had had someone who was his sponsor, his patron, he could have been the greatest painter that ever was. And why is that? If he were allowed to paint whatever he wanted to paint, perhaps painting these religious symbols and making these statuary in religious connotation gave him an inspiration that he wouldn't have had otherwise. Mm-hmm. But Michelangelo was only as good as he let it out. If Michelangelo never painted or sculpted, no one would know that he was good, and everybody would think just an ordinary man. Maybe even not as good as an ordinary man, because his art was his life. Now, what is your life? Ellen, what is, and I'm not asking you a question, this is rhetorical. Ellen, what is your life? What is your goal for yourself? What do you want to do with yourself? What do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a spiritually illumined person. I want to be myself and have fun. Oh, come on, boom roar. You don't want that. What do you want to be? Well, to tell you the truth, I'd like to have a yacht and travel the world. No?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even say it.
Yeah!
You know, but is that what you'd like to do?
Oh, yeah.
What else would you like to do?
Having an island.
See, by the way,
a private island.
See, she wants these things. She wants these things. You think she's ever going to have a private island?
I live already on that private island.
You think she's ever going to have a private island?
No, because no. I live already.
Why won't she have a private island? Because I said to her, what do you want? And she says, I want a private island.
I live already.
And she says, I said, you want a yacht? Yes, I want a yacht. She wants these things. And until she says, I have it, I am it, it is who I am, then it'll always be something she wants. Mm-hmm. Now,
she
I pay attention. What's that?
She doesn't want it then anymore. She has it and enjoys it then.
No, it's not that she doesn't want it anymore. It's not that she doesn't want it anymore. It's not that she doesn't want it anymore. You don't say such silly statements. You have it, it's true. You have it because you delight in it, and you enjoy it, and you're using it. But if you say you don't want it, then you soon won't have it. You know that?
I'm enjoying it.
Okay, then you're enjoying it. Hello, Mr. Hines. Are you enjoying it, Mr. Hines? Are you enjoying your boat?
I love it.
Do you like to jump in the ocean, too, occasionally?
I do.
Do you get cleaned up?
I'm always clean.
So you got to watch every little statement, because always I'm throwing the common phrases at you, and the common answer is, you know, yes, I do, I want to be, and so on. And don't do that. Be totally master of yourself, totally in charge of yourself, because if you don't, then you're nothing. Now, each one of us, and I say me, us, you know, each one of us has the same genius in us that Michelangelo had. Each one of us has the same genius in us that Shakespeare had. Each one of us has the same genius in us that Jesus has. You know, each one of us. Now, why is it we're not being a Jesus, a Shakespeare, a Michelangelo? Why aren't we being that? Because we don't know it. Because we don't know that we have that. Now, could you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. What would happen if you did it? Would you act like a Michelangelo or a Jesus or a...
No.
What would you act like?
Act like me.
But who the hell is yourself? Be yourself and have fun. Who is that? That person who is yourself is a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
That person who is yourself is a person that's not trying to satisfy other people and make them think that you are great. That person doesn't say, what do you think of my picture? That person enjoys their own picture and does what they want to do with it. Maybe puts it in a closet, you know. Maybe even doesn't look at it. Just does it because they love to do it. And people say, you're an artist? I dabble, you know. Well, let's see what you've done. If you wish, they're in the closet there. In the closet, you know, yeah. Can't be any good, you know. Can't be any good if they're in the closet. So, they bring it out of the closet, and here it is, you know, all of Michelangelo's masterpieces. You know? We can and are be, we can be and are, whatever we have our imagination open to be. Now, what do you have your imagination open to be? And do you have your imagination open to traveling the world with a yacht or having an island? You know, those are cute things, but what do you have your imagination open to? What are you going to do on that island all day long, year long, week long, life long? You're going to just lay out there in the sun naked and soak it up? Well, that gets a little boring after a while. Do you want to climb coconut trees? You know, that gets boring too, you know. And you got to have good feet. Do you want to swim in the ocean? That gets boring too. Do you want to, you know, you see, if you are who you are, and you are who you are, if you are who you are, you have so much genius in you, everything that you look at, you will see ways of utilizing it and ways of enjoying it. You look at the coconut tree, and you don't have any dishes. You don't have any dishes. And so you look at the coconut tree, oh, hush up. And so you drop the coconut down on a rock, and it splits open. And so you have this beautiful fringing around it. You eat the coconut out of it, and there you've got a wonderful bowl. Mm-hmm. And you think, now, isn't that a lovely bowl to eat with? Now, you need a spoon. Now, how are you going to make a spoon? Whose first thought to make a spoon? Quick. Quick. Come on, come on, come on.
Stone.
No.
I
must.
What?
I am the first.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I didn't really
shell.
A shell. That's a good way. Yes. That's a good. But a gourd. You know what a gourd is?
No.
Well, a gourd is a cucumber type thing, you know. And it grows and it's circular, and you just scoop it out, and you got a nice big soup spoon, you know. But a shell too. That's what I wasn't thinking of. A shell is native and there too, and you could use shells. Shells for putting your plants in, shells for scooping up your food, shells for eating your soup, shells for whatever you wish, you know. And they're very sturdy too. And you can wash them in the ocean, and there you are perfectly happy. You see? So, you see, when any of us get our dream of a peaceful place, what does a beachcomber do? He combs the beach. What is he looking for? He's looking for interesting things. Shells, people's wallets, or other things, rings and diamonds and things like that, you see? So, but a real beachcomber, what is he looking for?
For quietness, for money.
A real beachcomber is combing the beach because that's his fishing pole. And he can be in meditation, and no one will disturb him while he's combing the beach and meditating. If he sits under a coconut tree, you lazy guy, you know. And then he doesn't need that vibration around him, does he?
Mm-hmm.
And if he is combing the beach with a magnetic comber or even with just a stick, people say, oh, he's an industrious beachcomber. And, of course, that's if you are concerned about what other people think. Now, if you go to the beach with your wife and you start combing the beach, she'll say, sweetheart, make the fire. Sweetheart, cook the food. Sweetheart, straighten out the campsite. Sweetheart, sweep it up. Sweetheart, pick up all the junk we've been dropping all around here. Sweetheart, set up the tent. Sweetheart, lay out the sleeping bag. Sweetheart, you know, and die. It's a lot easier than having a second yourself. It's bad enough you tell yourself what to do without having someone else tell you. Now you say, well, that's what I would have done anyhow. Well, wouldn't it be nice to do it without having somebody tell you?
Yes.
I'm saying these things not because I'm against marriage or for it. I'm just saying, when you let yourself be possessed by whoever you're with. Now, we're going to the beach. You set up the tent. You set up the fireplace. You go get firewood. And you bring the food out and prepare, huh?
We eat the food.
Eat it. Yeah, you eat, sure. But you see, isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? But if you just go to the beach, and if nobody wants to do anything, super. You don't do anything. If nobody wants to set up the campsite, super. Just lay on the sand. If nobody wants to cook the food, super. You know, I go to the food and take a raw fish or whatever, you know, and eat it. Perfectly happy. You see? When you are told what to do, it makes it all the fun out of it. And that's how we are. So, today, think about these things. Because be yourself and have fun. And let that instant illumination in you be who you are. And flow with it, and flow with it, and flow. We've covered about 6 different topics right now. And we've covered 6 different areas. And one of them is going to touch you and set your heart on fire. So, have a lovely day and know that I love you, 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 I love you.